Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
Today, we are on a critical mission. We're going to master what is, well, probably the trickiest part of the DLA B2 oral exam.
Terry 3,
exactly. La Encuesta, the survey. This is the one that really tests you because there's just no prep time, and we're here to give you the framework to, you know, really nail it.
To turn that data into a real high-level conversation.
Yeah. But first, just a quick administrative note. This deep dive, which is number 250 in English, is based on our Spanish language 1, number 128.
Right.
So for all the written guides, the terminology, links to the original, you can find all of that in the About DLA in English section on DLEExam.com, or just look for us on Spotify.
And the reason Terrier 3 is so critical is that spontaneity. The whole point of B2 is showing you can communicate complex stuff fluently. Right? Without hesitating.
It strips away all the preparation.
It does. It forces you to take your personal opinion and smash it up against new external data. And you have, what, 3, maybe 4 minutes to do it all? It's a pure test of your B2 skills.
Okay, so let's set the stage first. Just so we all know where this thing falls in the grand scheme of the exam, the whole oral test has three tasks. The first one is Tarea 1, Las Propuestas. That's the one where you're monologuing and then talking about solutions to a problem.
And then Tarea 2, La Fotografía. You create a story from a picture and then, you know, have a conversation about that topic. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones you can plan for.
Exactly. And that's the key point. When you show up for the exam, you get 20 minutes of prep time.
20 minutes.
And in that time, you are only preparing for Tarea 1 and Tarea 2. You'll get 2 proposal sheets and 2 photos, and you pick one of each.
And this is the part you absolutely have to understand. Tarea 3, the survey, is completely 100% outside of that prep time.
So you know nothing about it.
Nothing. Not the topic, not the questions, not the data. You only find out what it is after you've already finished Tarea 2 when you're sitting right there in front of the examiners.
Wow. So the real preparation, the strategic work, has to happen before you even walk in that door.
That's the only way.
Okay, that makes total sense. So let's talk about what happens in the room. The moment of truth. You've just finished Tarea 2. The examiner makes a note or two, and then they'll slide over 2 options for Tarea 3. And you get, what, just a few seconds?
A few seconds is generous. It's a glance. You pick the topic that you feel a little more comfortable with.
And then you see it. The 2 parts of the task. The survey questions themselves, usually 2 of them, multiple choice.
And then the main event. The results. The percentages from actual Spanish citizens. And that 4-minute clock in your head is already ticking.
So the task itself unfolds in 2 parts, right? And the order is really important. What's that very first thing the examiner asks you to do?
It's the personal response, part A. And here's the crucial thing.
Yeah.
They show you the survey questions without any of the data.
Oh, interesting.
And they just ask you, what would you choose? So you have to give your genuine personal answer.
Yeah.
And you have to be quick about it because the next step comes immediately.
So if the whole thing is just 3 or 4 minutes, how fast do you have to switch from, you know, talking about yourself to analyzing this national data?
Instantly. That's part B, comparison and justification. The examiner flips the page or shows the screen with the real results, the percentages.
And your job is?
2 things. 1, compare your answer to what the data says. 2, provide a really solid B2 level justification for your own choice and for what you're seeing in the national trends.
Which brings us to, I think, the most important strategic tip we found. When you're in a part A, answering for yourself, tell the truth. Don't make something up.
Oh, absolutely. This is a classic mistake. If you try to invent an opinion because you think it sounds more academic or sophisticated,
yeah,
you'll get tied in knots.
Right. Like saying you love opera when you've never been.
Exactly. Then the data comes up and says 80% of Spaniards prefer going out with friends, and you're stuck. You can't logically connect your made-up answer to the reality. If you're honest, the justification flows naturally because it's already part of your own experience.
Okay, let's get into some concrete examples. Let's start with a simple one from the sources on leisure preferences. Ocio.
Yeah, this is a good one. So imagine the results show 40% of people prefer going out with friends, 30% sports, 20% the cinema, and just 10% reading.
And let's say I'm in that 10%. I genuinely chose reading.
Okay, so you have to immediately do two things. First, justify why you chose reading. But more importantly, you have to look at that huge 40% number and explain why they prioritize socializing.
I see. So if the examiner asks, why do you think so many people prefer going out with friends? I can't just say, because they like their friends.
No, that's an A2 answer. A B2 answer has to dig into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say something like, well, I think this reflects how much Spanish culture values social life, or it's probably a key way for people to relieve stress, you know, a form of desahogo,
mm-hmm.
and it's essential for maintaining those strong personal bonds. You connect the number to a bigger idea.
That's a huge jump in complexity. Let's try the other one, the commute example. Transport. 50% prefer a car, 30% public transport. So if I said I prefer public transport, my job is then to explain why half the country is choosing the car, even if I personally think it's the wrong choice.
Exactly. You have to step outside your own opinion and analyze the data objectively. You'd need to bring in external factors.
Like what?
You could talk about convenience. You could say the preference for the car is likely due to the greater comfort and flexibility it offers, especially outside big cities. Or you could mention infrastructure, saying that in some places, public transport might be seen as less efficient or more crowded, which pushes people towards cars. It's about seeing the why behind the what.
This is the perfect bridge to the more complex official data, the stuff from the Instituto Cervantes model exam. This one was about taxes, impuestos, and public services. This is where it gets tricky.
It really is. So our first question, what's your opinion on taxes? The results show that 54%, a clear majority, see them as necessary for the state to provide public services.
Okay, that makes sense. Pretty standard for a modern country.
But then you have this huge counterpoint, a really significant chunk, 34%. That's more than a third see taxes as something the state just makes them pay, and they don't really know what it's for.
Wow, that's a big number.
It is. And the other 12% see them as a way to distribute wealth. But that 34%, that's the interesting part. You can't ignore it. You have to comment on that feeling of disconnect.
Right. So it's not enough to just list the percentages. I'd have to talk about what that 34% means.
Yes. You could use that data to talk about, say, government transparency. You can speculate that 34% figure might suggest a problem with how clearly the government communicates where the money is going.
Or maybe that those people don't see the benefits in their day-to-day lives.
Exactly. You're building a B2 level argument right there based on the data.
Now, what about the second part of that survey? The satisfaction with public services. Mm. The numbers here were, well, they were all over the place.
They were wild. At the top, you have healthcare, Asistencia Sanitaria, with 40% satisfaction, which is high. And it makes sense. Spain's public health system is generally well regarded. It's a point of national pride.
And some others were pretty good too, right? Public transport was 33%, social services at 21%. Respectable numbers.
But then you get to the bottom, and this is where, as a candidate, you need to be ready. Citizen Security, Seguridad Ciudadana, had a satisfaction rate of just 1%.
1%? Wait, say that again?
1%.
Uh-huh.
Pension management was 2%, and teaching was at 3%.
1% for Citizen Security is. That's staggering. Mm. So as the candidate, I have to see that number, process the shock, and then immediately start analyzing it.
Yes. You've got incredible material for discussion right there. You could contrast the two extremes. Why is healthcare at 40% and security at 1%?
I mean, you could argue healthcare is something everyone uses directly. It's tangible. You go to the doctor, you get care.
Right. It's a universal positive experience for many. But security. Low satisfaction there might not mean people feel unsafe walking down the street. It could be driven by, I don't know, media coverage of certain crimes or a perception that the justice system is slow. You're justifying the perception behind the number.
And that's exactly when the examiner is going to jump in with those questions, right? Where do your answers match up? Where do they differ? Or the big one, did any of this data surprise you and why?
That's the moment. Being ready for that 1% number is key.
Okay, so let's shift to the practical stuff, the quick guide. You can't prep the content, but you can definitely prep the method and the language.
Absolutely. The first thing is just getting familiar with the format. Practice commenting on charts and graphs, even fake ones. The second thing is vocabulary. You need really specific, nuanced words for these common topics. Leisure, work, education, technology.
And in the exam itself, when you see a number like that 1%, what's the key to staying composed?
Don't freeze. The test is about communication under pressure. If a result shocks you, use that. Acknowledge the surprise. Mm. It makes you sound more authentic.
So what's a good phrase for that? How do you pivot?
Something like, no esperaba este resultado, pero tiene sentido porque.
I didn't expect this, but it makes sense because. That shows the examiner you're thinking on your feet, you're adapting. And always, always justify. Never just state an opinion. Always give the why.
And of course, the linguistic glue holding it all together, the connectors, the sources really hammered this point home. You have to sound organized.
Non-negotiable for a good score. These marcadores discursivos are what make your response flow. They show you're moving logically from one idea to the next.
So which are the must-haves for this task?
Well, you need además in addition to add points. You need por otro lado, on the other hand, to show contrast. Sin embargo, however, is crucial for introducing an exception. And something like in conclusion to wrap up your thought. They turn a list of ideas into a coherent argument.
Let's finish with those specific phrases for comparison and surprise. The real tools for the job.
They're so important. To show you're genuinely processing, you can say, la verdad es que me sorprende mucho que tantos encuestados prefieran. The truth is, it really surprises me that so many people prefer.
And for that direct comparison between your answer and the data?
You link them explicitly. En comparación con lo que yo he dicho, los resultados muestran que. In comparison with what I said, the results show that. And your best friend in this entire task is the phrase for justification. Creo que esto se debe a que. I believe this is because. That phrase should be on the tip of your tongue.
So it's clear. Tarea 3 is short, it's intense, but its structure is predictable. It's all about that quick synthesis and using strong comparative language.
Exactly. Success is all about that spontaneous justification. You need the vocabulary and the fluency to think like an analyst right there on the spot.
Okay, so let's leave you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on. Let's go back to that huge gap. 40% satisfaction with healthcare, 1% with citizen security. What are the invisible factors at play? Think about things that aren't in the data, like recent news events, political rhetoric, or just the way the media frames these issues. How much do those things drive our perception and create such a massive difference in satisfaction? That's the real B2 challenge, discussing what's behind the numbers.
That's the deep analysis.
And finally, if you need more help getting ready for the DELE or you're looking for Spanish classes built for this kind of exam, you can reach out to the expert directly. The email is carmenadriedonline@gmail.com.
That's carmenadriedonline@gmail.com.
We really hope this deep dive helps you feel ready to take on the challenge of La Encuesta.